that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is what we're going to do today. Is we're going to be strengthened by God in our inner man. We're going to allow God this morning into some rooms of our lives that we haven't dared let him in before. Some rooms we have let him in and we've pushed him back out because we thought we had fear around him. We thought this is going to be too hard. And we've said, no, God, in another time you can come back in and we'll sort this out. But today, God wants to strengthen his church, City Point North, in our inner man. Amen. You receive that right now? Awesome. Well, if you do receive that, can you yell out really loud? Today my heart is open. My ears are alert to grow and change in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to start a journey right now. Today's message is a little bit different to normal. I'm just going to read to you guys to get your listening ears on. But before I do, I just want to credit this message to Robert Munger. And he wrote a book called My Heart, Christ Home. And I'm taking a lot of my notes out of that today. And I just want to bring honor and credit to my mother of the house. Can we put our hands together for my mother? Great woman of God. She gave me this book. So in truth, she's responsible for today's message. So all credit to my mum. Anyway, I'm going to take a seat as we walk through the house. We're going to start in the study. So we're going to walk through the house of our heart. And what I like about this is we're going to walk this with Jesus. Okay? And we're going to see how God views us and how God views our rooms together as I go through all the rooms of our house. And what I like about this is in some ways this feels like a risk, doesn't it? For some of us who are opening up rooms today, we're going to ask God to come in and it feels like a risk to let God in, but this is a real faith step for us. And there's other rooms in our house that we can't wait to show Jesus. You know, to show him, since we've been saved, since we've given our hearts, look what's happened in this area of my life, and we can't wait to show Jesus. So let's just go on this little journey with the study. So this is the first room Jesus and I looked at together. It's the study or the library. Let's just call it today the mind. It's our mind. In my home, this is a small room with thick walls, but it's an important room. In a sense, it's the control room of the whole house. We entered and Jesus looked around at the books in the bookcases, the magazines I left on the table, the pictures on the walls. As I followed his gaze, I became a little bit uncomfortable. Strangely enough, I had not felt badly about this room before, but now that he was there with me looking at these things, I'm embarrassed. There were some books on the shelves. His eyes were too pure to look at. On the table were a few magazines a Christian has no business reading. As for the pictures on the wall, the imaginations and thoughts of my mind, some of these were shameful. Red-faced, I turned to him and I said, God, I know this room really needs to be cleansed, to be cleaned and made over. Will you help me change it to the way it ought to be? Certainly, he replied. I'm glad to help you. I've come to handle things just like this. First of all, take all the material you are reading and viewing, which are not true, not good or pure, and they're not helpful, let's throw them out. Now put on the empty shelves the books of the Bible. Fill the library with the scriptures and meditate on them day and night. Because the Bible says as we meditate on these scriptures, they renew our mind. With the pictures on the wall, replace them with ones of me and keep your thoughts centered on Christ. As you do, you will be drawn into my presence to strengthen you. Renew this room of the mind with scriptures and keep my presence in the center by meditating on me. So we went through that room and now we're moving into the dining room. And the room of appetites and the room of desires. This is a large room, an important room to me. I spend lots of time and hard work trying to satisfy my wants. I told Jesus this is my favorite room. I'm sure he will love what I serve in this room. He seated himself at the table and he asked, "What's on the menu for dinner tonight?" "Well," I said, "my favorite dishes, money, academic degrees, stocks, newspapers of fame and fortune as side dishes." These were all the things that I liked. There's nothing so very bad with any of these, but it was not really the kind of food which you would feed your soul and satisfy true spiritual hunger. See, when the plates were placed before my new friend, he said nothing. However, I observed that he didn't eat. I asked, while I was a little upset, "Savior, don't you like this food? What's the trouble?" He answered, "I have food to eat that you don't even know of. My food is to do the will of him that sent me." He looked at me and said, "If you want food that really satisfies you, do the will of your heavenly Father. Put his pleasures before your own. Stop striving for your own desires and your own ambitions, your own satisfactions. Seek to please him. That food will really satisfy you. You should try it." And there at the table, he gave me a taste of doing God's will. What a flavor. There is no food like it in all the world. It alone satisfies. In the end, everything else leaves you hungry. But his will satisfies my soul. 1 John 2:16 says this, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world." See, these are our self-centered wants. And we know they really don't satisfy us. We always need and want more to try and get full. So let's find God's will to be our soul-satisfying meat and drink. Now the living room. So the living room is a nice, quiet, comfortable room with a warm atmosphere. There's a fireplace, a sofa, chairs full of cushions, a bookcase, and an intimate atmosphere. Jesus also seems to like this room inside of me. He said, "Indeed, this is a delightful room. Let's come here often. It's secluded and quiet, and we can have good talks and fellowship together in this room." I couldn't think of anything I wanted more than time with Christ in close companionship with him. He promised, "I'll be here every morning early. Meet me here and we'll start the day together." So morning after morning, I would go downstairs to the living room. Jesus would take a book of the Bible from the bookcase, open it, and we would read it together. He would unfold to me the wonder of God's saving truth recorded on the pages and make my heart sing as he shared all he has done for me. Those times together were awesome. I loved them. However, under the pressure of my responsibilities, little by little, this time began to be shortened. Why, I'm not too sure. But somehow I just got too busy to spend regular time with Christ. People understand it wasn't deliberate, but eventually I even missed a day during exam times. Sometimes I missed 2 or 3 days in a row because of all the urgent things in my world. One day, I was in a rush and I ran past the living room. And I looked in and I saw the fireplace on and he was waiting for me. I realized he was my guest. I invited him into my heart, and now I'm neglecting him. I stopped and I walked in and said, "Master, I'm sorry. Have you been here all morning, every day for me?" He said, "Yes. I told you I'll be here to meet with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you." Now I was more ashamed. He has been so faithful in spite of my faithlessness. I asked him to forgive me, and he did. As he always does when we acknowledge our shortfalls, he forgives us. He said to me, "You know what the drama is?
is you think this time is all about you. But you have to realize, I want this time with you as well. See, remember, I love you. And at a great cost, I redeemed you. Just to have a look, just for you to look to me, this satisfies me. If only for my sake, don't neglect this hour every morning together. See, God wants to be together with us. Our prayer time is valuable to us, but it's also valuable to Him. Let's have a quick look at the shed. Now, in my shed, there's benches, there's tools, but I don't do all that much with them. I'm not the biggest handyman in the world. I took Jesus out to show him, and he looked over the benches and saw a few talents and the skills that I had. He said, "This is a fairly neat room. What are you producing with your life for the kingdom of God, unmistakably influencing your world for good and for God?" He looked at the toys I had thrown together one day, and he said, "Is this the sort of thing you were doing for others in your Christian life?" I felt terrible, and I replied, "Lord, I'm doing my best. I know it isn't much, but I'm awkward, and I don't have the ability to do better than this." "Well, would you like to do better?" he said. "You know I would," I replied. He said, "Well, first, remember what I taught you in John 15:5. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So why don't you come and relax in me and let my spirit work through you? See, I know you are unskilled in this area, actually a bit clumsy and awkward, but the spirit is the master worker. See, you know, if we allow him to control our skills and our talents, our heart, our hands, he will work through us. Isn't that good, church? See, sometimes I still get in the way and I have to remind myself to allow him work through me. But I'm not discouraged because God does amazing things through my life when I do allow him to. See, I have learned to trust him and he always surprises me with what he can do throughout us. After this room, I was a bit excited, and so we went into the rec room. The rec room, this is a private room in my house that I go for fun and for recreation. But it's private. There are certain things I want to keep to myself. And I was super nervous when he asked to come into the rec room with me. One evening, I was going out with some mates for a night on the town. He was at the door and he stopped me to ask where I was going out. He said, "Could I go with you?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Great, I would love to do this. I'd love to go you." "Oh," I replied awkwardly, "I don't think you would really like where I'm going. Perhaps we should go out together tomorrow night." "As you wish," he replied. "Only I thought when I came into your home, I thought when I came into your heart, we were going to do everything together. Be close companions. Just know that I'm willing to go wherever you go." All night I went out and I felt bad, thinking about the kind of friend I was to Jesus. That night I realized I really need, and I really deep down inside want him with me. When I got home, he was waiting up for me, and I went in and I apologized to him. Then he took me downstairs into the rec room. He transformed the room. He brought in new friendships, new excitement, and a new joy. Laughter filled the room. He smiled and said, "So, you thought with me around, things wouldn't be so fun. Remember in John 15:11, I said, I have come that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." See, when Jesus is in these areas of our life, he doesn't take away the fun of our youth. He doesn't take the fun out of our lives. But what he does do is he fills us with a new joy. He brings new people into our lives. It's a joy that is overflowing and only he can complete inside of each of us. So after that room, we went to the bedroom.
Now, one day when we were in the bedroom, he asked me about the picture next to my bed. That's a picture of my girlfriend, I said. I felt really weird talking to him about her because she and I were struggling and I didn't want him to know all about it. He must have known what I was thinking. He called me out on it and he said, "You're beginning to question my teaching on sex and that it's only for those in the covenant of marriage. You're thinking I'm asking something unnatural of you. You're afraid that my will on this will limit you and limit the fullness of enjoyment of life and love. Isn't this true?" And I had to confess. I said, "Yes." He continued, "Well, I forbid premarital sex and adultery, not because it's bad, but because it's actually so good. See, in this act is a bonding of two lives in deepening love. It has the creative power to bring human life into the world. Sex is powerful. Used properly, sex has tremendous potential for good. But used improperly, it destroys good. See, for this reason, God intends it to be expressed only within the commitment of a loving life partnership. There is far more to love than just sex. Let me help you in this area. If you should fail and feel shame and guilt, know that I still love you and will remain with you. Talk to me about it. Acknowledge the wrong. Take steps to avoid it happening again and rely on my strength to keep you from falling and to lead you into a relationship of love and marriage which two truly become one in me." You know, I just want to pause here for a moment. Tomorrow, my wife and I celebrate 19 years of marriage together. Yeah, you feel like it's in the company. Can't forget that. 19 years. You know what the key to marriage is? Is it's Jesus Christ. That's the key, especially in today's world. And if you aren't yet married, we need to honor God, honor ourselves, our body, and we need to honor our partner. And we need to, if we're already in sex before marriage, why don't you have a discussion with your partner and say, "Look, I love you so much, and I honor you so much, and I know that you do me. Why don't we make an agreement to not put each other into temptation's way? And if one of us is weak in a moment and we do that, you have permission to say no and even walk away in that moment. Because together we want to make a commitment that the marriage bed is our commitment and our relationship with each other and with God. Because don't we all know that a rope of two strands is easily broken, but a rope of three winds together. I'm a canvas worker by trade. And when we plait two ropes together, we braid them, splice them together, it's the three strands that makes that little area of a splice just as strong, if not stronger, than the whole rope itself. So when there's a cord of three together with Jesus in the center, your marriage will last the length of time. And you'll be celebrating 19 years just like Mel and I when God is the center of your marriage. Is that good? So let's make sure, God, and if you're married now and you're going through seasons in your life, never leave God out of the argument. Argue better, but not bitter, because God is in there. Ask God, "God, bring grace into this argument right now." Doesn't mean we don't get frustrated with each other and have hard times that we have to walk through together, but we are never, ever doing it alone. We are always doing it with Jesus as the center of our marriage. Is that good advice? And we will be a strong church in marriages. Well, you know what? We're going to look at the last room together right now. And this is a great room. This is the hallway closet. The hallway closet. One morning, Jesus was waiting for me. He said, "There's a particular smell in this house. Something must be dead around here. I think it's upstairs in the hallway closet." Straight away, I knew what he was talking about. There was a very small closet upstairs. It had a padlock on it. with a couple of small things in there, not much, just a few. I didn't want anyone to see these things, let alone Christ. I feel a bit upset now. You know, he's come into every room of my house, and I've listened and I've changed things because I want this relationship with him to work. But now he wants this last room, which is private, and really, it just doesn't matter. I don't want us to go there. Then he said, well, that's fine. Just don't think that I'm going to be sleeping up here with that stinking room down the end of the closet. I'm going to grab my bed. I'm going to go outside or into another room, somewhere else. Then I felt him withdrawing as he was getting ready to move his face and his fellowship from being in close proximity to me. I couldn't handle it. I just had to give in. I'll give you the key, I said, but you will have to open the closet. You'll have to clean it out. Just don't have the strength. I know, he said. I know you haven't got the strength. Just give me the key and give me the authority and I'll handle the closet for you. So with trembling in my fingers, I passed the key over to him. He took it from my hand. He walked over to the door, opened it. He entered in. Then he just started taking stuff out. Threw it all away. Then he cleansed the closet. He painted it. He fixed it up. And he did it all in just a moment's time. Immediately, a fresh, fragrant breeze swept through the whole house. The whole atmosphere changed. It was so good. It was so good to feel that release, that sense of victory in that area of my life. No matter what sin or what pain there might be in my past, Jesus is ready to forgive. He's here to heal and to make me whole. Church, you'll notice that when I read through that room, I think most of us have a room, a closet upstairs down the end of the hallway, the light that we leave off down the end there that we don't want to go to. But what you'll notice is Jesus didn't pull the things out and show me. He didn't rub my past in my face. He didn't show me the things that were my fault, the things that were so-and-so's fault. And he didn't make me feel bad or rob joy from me. He just came in and he just dealt with those things. He threw them away. And I think this is a perception sometimes where it's a perception of hurt. It's a perception of fear. It's a perception of darkness. It's the perception that I don't have strength to open the doors of these rooms inside. But it's an untrue perception, because the truth is when God comes in, it's not in our strength, it's in his strength. When he comes in, he doesn't remind us of those sins. He comes in and forgives us and deals with the sting. When he comes in and he brings restoration. He doesn't bring condemnation. When he comes in, he fills those rooms in our lives with love, with a peace. The Bible says it's peace beyond understanding. Why is it? Because he is the God of peace. And when we give him the key and the authority to come in, the God of peace, which means he is peace. He is peace in its entirety. He is the one that walks in those rooms. Peace walks into those rooms. Joy walks into it. He is the center of all fulfilling joy. He is the God of all forgiveness. He is the God of all love. These are his attributes of who he is
And that's what walks in the room. See, in the world's mind, when we open these doors in our life, hurt does, and we have to walk through and face these hurts. But when we do it with Jesus, we see the hurts, and we have to deal with those things, but they no longer have sting in our lives. They no longer have authority. They no longer can bring pain into our world. But rather, all that happens is as we face these with Jesus, holding on to Him, we have victory that comes into our world. We have a confidence in who He is that comes into our world. Is that not good news today as we open the doors of these things? I'm just going to ask the worship team to come. And before we move on, there's just one more thing I'd like us to do this morning. Whether you want to close your eyes or however you want to do this, could you look at the door of that room? Maybe there's many rooms for you. So you've got a keychain full of rattling keys. Could you grab these things? Could you imagine yourself giving them to Jesus? We're going to do something really amazing right now. We're going to hand over the title of the house to Him. See, I realized that maintaining my house was never ending. I fix one room and there just always seems to be another. Another issue, another problem. So I asked God if He would be willing to manage my whole house and operate it for me just like He did with the closet room. His face lit up and he replied, "I would love to. This is exactly what I came to do." You can't live out your Christian life and be all that God has called you to be in your own strength. It's impossible. But remember, I am not the owner of this house. I am just the guest. I have no authority to take charge. I realized in this moment something really important. The Lord has been my guest, and I've been playing host. But from now on, I say that He is the master of this house, and I'm going to be the servant. See, I ran out, and I got the deeds of the house, and I transferred them into His name. That today He took my life and I gave Him in return all that I have. Because He knows exactly what to do with them. I bent my knee and a deep peace settled down inside me. I am His and now forever. All areas of my life, He is mine. See, because I chose to declare today, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if that's you this morning, church, as for you and your house, we'll serve the Lord. Why don't we all stand together right now? There's rooms in our lives we need God to be in so that restoration can happen. God isn't looking for the bad things to pull us down. But He wants to be in these areas of our lives to restore us and bring victory into our world. Matthew 11, 28, 30 says this. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You want to know something? God's in the restoration business. That's why Jesus came, is to restore us to the Father. He's in the restoration business, and we have an opportunity right now to be bold with faith. Remember, it's with faith that He brings strength to our inner man. Does anyone want to be strengthened in their inner man this morning? In those rooms in our hearts, that the weaknesses inside of us, the addictions, the hurt, the fears, the abuse, physical, mental, spiritual abuse,
things of the past, the words that have been said and proclaimed over us, our self-doubt, self-pity, the feeling of I can't do it, the lack of I'm not enough. Today, God wants to strengthen these areas inside of our heart. So what we're going to do in just this moment, we're going to ask anyone at the front row, you're free to come out if that's how you'd like to do this. But why don't we just close our eyes, lift our hands, and open our hearts to God. And right now, why don't you just look at these areas and just say, God, you're in this room. I'm welcoming in you in this room. And not only to come in, but to take the deeds of my house. I transfer my house to you, because I'm going to declare today, as for me and my house, every room, every department, I am prepared to go on this journey for you. Every area of my house will serve the Lord. You know, in the story of Joshua, Israel was choosing the gods of the Amorites, and they were choosing the gods of the Father. Joshua declared, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But that declaration, although it was for him and his family, he was also the head of all of the Israelites. And as much as he made that statement for himself and his family, there were rooms inside the Israelite camps. There were families inside the Israelite camp that was choosing other gods. And he was making a spiritual declaration that day. No matter what happens right now, in Jesus Christ, as for me and as for all of Israel, a day will come where we will all serve the Lord of God Almighty. Will you make that declaration that for every room in your house, yes, you may be a Christian in this place, but for every room in your house, you declare, we will serve the Lord. That room, that room, that room will serve the Lord. My fears will serve the Lord, because God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Amen. So, Father, I just pray in this moment, Holy Spirit, would you wash over the congregation, over my life? Would you give us the strength, the boldness, and bring victory today? We are a victorious people. We are a victorious people. The gates of hell will not prevail against the army of the Lord. And we are that army, and the gates of hell does not prevail, because, Father, we choose you and declare, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. In Jesus' name. You know, as every eye is closed,